You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. I'm Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I'm here with Joe Fusaro, who covers the Marlins for MLB.com. And, Joe, I want to get your take on this because, of course, I'm an outsider looking in. And in my opinion, it seems that Jose Fernandez might be available in a trade. According to the Marlins, they're not. Sometimes you have to play coy to really establish what's going on. But it seems like it would be the haul that they would require would make this a pretty unlikely situation. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, the latest information in the last couple of days, I gathered even more talking to some executives on the club. And, you know, a lot has quieted since the winter meetings. No one's really anticipating anything changing on that front. And as you know, as we were kind of moving into the first of the year, teams were going to try to be a little more set and not do those kind of blockbuster type deals. I don't envision anything moving the needle that would move Jose Fernandez out of here. And that includes, what's going on in L.A. with some pitching that they thought could be available falling by the wayside. You know, the Marlins used the winter meetings as kind of a trial ground. They anticipated it. You know, they anticipated teams would come, you know, heavily for Jose. And their logic was, you know, David Price had just signed for, $217 million, and Greinke for $206.5 million. And Jose is pretty attractive, 3 years arbitration at about $20 million. So they kind of anticipated people knocking on the door, and they certainly did. It kind of took on a life of its own. But, you know, as you noted, it would take a tremendous haul of, you know, active players and everyone's top prospects. And we're talking four or five players, you know, just to get the conversation rolling. And it's really difficult, Allison, for these type of trades to work because the Marlins are not hunting the season in 16. They're going to try to contend, so it's very hard to move a guy like Jose, who would obviously go to a team wanting to contend, and in the meantime get the return back to keep Miami in position to contend. So I think there's a lot of noise, and you're going to keep hearing the noise, but I'm talking to pretty high-up people in the organization, and nothing has kind of changed. Everything kind of quieted down substantially when they left Nashville, and I really don't anticipate anything gaining steam between now and spring training.
And you have to really think about, like, how did this come up in the first place? Like, why would this guy in particular be in rumors of being traded when all the things that you said, and especially since he's under club control and he's so young? I mean, was this kind of born because there were, like, the rumors that there were some issues with him in the clubhouse? Is that how this whole thing even got rolling?
Yeah, it just kind of got rolling. Once, you know, the industry senses, they sniff blood, you know, they come hard. And you know, the Marlins have this policy where they say they'll listen. And, you know, I quoted David Sampson the other day, team president, saying, we listen and we have no problem with that. We're okay with that. But he also made it clear he didn't see anything that was presented or anything that would move and change the status. Now, that said, they're going to have some patching up to do. There's no question. You know, there were stories, and there's wondering if the people in the clubhouse have turned on him. Was this a smear campaign? And if so, you know, it's kind of falling on Don Mattingly's lap to kind of make sure when they come into spring training that all the mess that happened in 15, and there certainly was plenty of it, is completely gone, and everyone's, you know, wiping the slate clean and attacking the new year in the new season, you know, with the proper focus. So I think it'll kind of clear itself up. I think there's not as big of an issue with players and Jose as some may think. You've been around clubhouses. When things aren't going well, no one's real happy, and it's kind of a poison atmosphere. And, you know, Jose Fernandez gives this team the best chance to win. There's no question. So I think players will embrace that more than an ego or such.
Exactly. I without giving names, but there was somebody that was extremely grumpy and didn't have like the reputation of being like a really congenial person. And during the years that I was covering the Astros, but they were also in the heart of having some fantastic seasons. And let me tell you, there's not one person in that clubhouse that wanted to see him gone. Had the teams gone in the other direction, then of course you're going to hear things leak out about unhappiness. So my point being, yes, winning breeds happiness. And when you're in a losing situation, it is a miserable thing to be around, especially over the course of 7.5 months, including spring training. I'm sure that you understand that.
Oh, yeah, because this team in 15 had high expectations. It wasn't, you know,
right.
You've been part of also teams that are young and they're going to grow and they'll take their lumps together and grow together. This team was expected to win, and it fell flat within 5 days. And so there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of grumblings, and there's a lot of people that could look themselves in the mirror and say, "Were we actually great citizens through this year too?" And Jose is immensely confident and, you know, and immensely talented, and, you know, he's kind of gained this little chip on his shoulder, but nothing, you know, it's not like he's a cancerous type guy in that clubhouse in any way other than, you know, probably should handle things a little better. And I think they kind of patched a lot of that up. If you looked at the final 5-6 weeks of 15, it was a really cohesive team, and they won a lot. They went 17-12 down the stretch and played some inspired and fun baseball and pretty much, you know, made it bearable, an unbearable season bearable, and then said, you know what, maybe this core is worth keeping, and you can't take an ace out of your line. They just don't have the organizational depth to recover from that without going into a full rebuild. And they do that, then all of a sudden you got Stanton all disgruntled, Yelich all disgruntled, D. Gordon. Mm-hmm. Why would he want to sign an extension? It goes on and on.
Yeah, and I mean, that is, on the complete other side of this is D. Gordon being just what a gem to this team. Not only is he a great guy, but he's a great player, and they are looking to extend him, which would be extremely smart, and that would be huge for the team. So where are they on that? Is it just kind of fluid, and is there any movement?
Yeah, they had face-to-face meeting at the winter meetings with these representatives, and I anticipate before the exchange date, because he was a Super 2, so he has like 4 years of arbitration. This is year two of it for him, and I anticipate they'll try to get that deal done. And Nelson, to be honest with you, I think he's going to be their big offseason signing. They're not going to sign a free agent pitcher to an extreme amount of money or certainly multi-year type thing. And they're not really looking to extend anybody else. A year ago, they were hoping to extend Marcell Ozuna, Danny Echevarria. And they kind of last resort, because Jose was coming off to Tommy John, but they did approach Scott Boras about Jose, and that became big news, because the offer is considered low ball, and it, and like anything dealing with Marlins and stuff for us, it kind of goes nuts. So, you know, they aren't even making an attempt at any of them really this year, and just going after D. Gordon, who really, really enjoyed his time here. He felt he had the freedom to play his game the way he wanted to. He really likes Perry Hill, the infield coach, who is back, and he kind of liked the way the Marlins treated him. And so he's going to be a fun guy and certainly a key piece when that deal gets done, and I would anticipate that mid-January.
Yeah, sometimes the best acquisition a team makes is just keeping their own players, so I would think that would be a very good thing for the Marlins. So, Joe, thank you so much for the insight. Appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you soon.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.